Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Esther chapter 4 as we continue looking at our topic, no matter what, and looking at individuals who were willing to serve no matter what the cost. And so today we're going to look at a story of someone who talk about being in an interesting situation. Well, speaking in public is not always an easy thing to do. You know, some people like to speak in public, others do not. A few years back, I was asked to be the graduation speaker for a high school class. I was a substitute teacher in the school for a few years. This class was the first class that ever substitute taught. And so I was with them from the time they were in eighth grade till the time they graduated. And so they said, "We want you to be our speaker." And so I was humbled and honored, but at the same time, I was petrified. I mean, I got to speak to an entire school full of graduates and all their friends and family. I mean, I'm used to speaking to 50 or 60 people. This could be anywhere up to 2,000 people. Then you put on the top of the dangers of speaking in a school, talking about Jesus. And so this would be one of the biggest crowds that I would speak to. And you know, how am I going to be able to talk about Jesus? By talking about Jesus, I could lose my ability to substitute teach. And that was one of my jobs at the time. But if I did not talk about Jesus, I would miss a chance to share the truth with many people that might not hear it otherwise. Out of fear, I almost passed up on the chance to speak. But I knew this was a chance to show the love of Jesus no matter what. And by God's grace, I was able to do so. Today, we're going to look at the story of Esther and how she was faced with the choice to either stay silent or to speak up. Both choices were dangerous. The question is, would Esther do the right thing? The question is, will you and I do the right thing, no matter what? Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the word of God reads, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage, this incredible book that you give to us, the book of Esther, that helps us to see the beauty of you working behind the scenes to orchestrate plans and purposes and protection and providence for your people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that today. I pray that you would help us to see that Esther was placed in her position for this moment. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us see that you have placed us in this position, in this place, in this time for this moment. And I pray that each and every one of us would serve you with all of our hearts, no matter what. I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take over. We thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that we see is this call for Esther to not remain silent. So as we set up the story, we need to do just a little bit of a background. You see, the first queen did not listen to the king, and so he's like, "I got to do something." And so she is rejected as queen. She is sent away. And so then they call all the women of that era and that society and that culture, and they bring them together. And of all the people, Esther is the one that was chosen. That's not chance. So Esther becomes queen in place of Vashti. And so now she is queen. And then this other guy begins to rise to power by the name of Haman. And Haman is promoted, and everybody's afraid of Haman, and everybody bows down to Haman. But there's this one guy named Mordecai, who happens to be Esther's uncle, who refuses to bow down to Haman because he will only bow down to God. He's like, I ain't bowing down to no man. And so this upset Haman to the point that he's like, you know what? I'm not just going to get rid of Mordecai. I'm going to destroy all the Jews. I'm going to show him who the boss is. And so this decree goes out that at a certain time, all the Jews are able to be destroyed by the enemies of the Jews. And so when Mordecai first lets Esther know what's happening, he says, you need to go to the king and plead for the people. And her first response is a response of fear. She says, I can't. The rule, the law of the land is you cannot appear before the king without being summoned. And if you appear before the king without being summoned, there's only one penalty, and that penalty is death. And I have not been summoned for 30 days. I can't. And so that's what leads us to our text now, where Mordecai responds and says, Esther, if you don't go to the king, you're not going to be spared just because you're in the king's palace. Being the queen does not change the fact that you are still a Jew. And so Esther does not want to go to the king because they weren't allowed to go to the king. And so Mordecai's like, if you don't speak up, you won't escape. And so Esther was afraid, as we see from her first response. And I want us to bring that up again because I want you to understand that it's okay to be afraid. You know, when things happen in our lives, when God calls us to do things, when God calls us to speak up, sometimes it can be scary. It's okay to be afraid. But the definition of courage is being afraid to do something but doing it anyway. That's what courage is. When it comes to serving God, we need to step out in faith and trust Him. We need to let our fear be overrun by our faith and to step out. And so as we see here, Esther has this difficult decision. And as I think about this, I think of a lot of those game shows out there where you have these two doors and you have to pick which door to see what your prize is. And you know how this goes. Behind door number one, if you go to the king, you could die. Behind door number two, if you stay silent, you can die. Wait a minute. Death is behind both doors. No matter what Esther chooses, no matter what decision she makes, death is a possibility. This is what we like to call a lose-lose situation. There are times in our lives where we need to let faith lead us over fear. Doing the right thing can be scary, but the right thing is always the right thing, and that is what the people of God are called to do. Even when found in a lose-lose situation, by going to the king without calling her, she could be killed. By not saying anything, as a Jew, she could be killed in Haman's plot. Two choices, both that can lead to death. But again, doing the right thing is not always easy, but it's always the right thing. Sometimes when we do the right thing, we can be ostracized by those around us. Sometimes when we do the right thing, we could lose friends and support, and we could be put in a difficult situation. Sometimes when we do the right thing, we can find ourselves persecuted. But again, when it comes to being children of God, the right thing is always the right thing, and that is what we as Christians are to do. There is a time when the people of God need to speak out. Mordecai says, do not think in your heart that you will escape. In other words, Mordecai is saying the time has come for you to speak up. The time has come for you to be a voice for your people. And what is incredible to think about is God uses people to protect and provide for His people. I love that. God doesn't need us, but God chooses to use us. God uses people to help people. Esther is in a position of power so that she can be used to protect her people. Joseph would be in a place of power to protect his people, as we see in Genesis 45:7, where he says, God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Everything that happened to Joseph in his life, God used to put him in the place that he was for the time that he was to make a difference. The same is true for Daniel. How many lives did Daniel protect and save in the influence that he had in the Babylonian Empire because he did the right thing no matter what the cost was? And God had placed him in that place, in that time, in that moment to make an incredible difference. Simply trusting God does not mean that we stand around and do absolutely nothing and expect God to take care of everything. Trusting God means that we step out, means that we speak out, and that we seek to make positive change. Amen. I'll never forget what somebody said to me, and this has loomed in my head and in my life. If you want to see change, be the change you want to see. Again, you know, we talked a little bit ago about the need for people to come to business meetings. If you want to see change in the church, that's where it happens. You got to come and vote. You got to come and say, hey, I wish we did more of this. I wish we did more of that. If we want to see change, then we've got to be the change that we want to see. If we want to make a difference, simply trusting in God doesn't mean that I sit back and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust God to take care of it. I'm just going to sit here and do absolutely nothing. It doesn't work that way. We are to step out. We are to stand up. We are to make a difference. We are to be the change. There is a time for the people of God to be quiet. Yes, there is a time where we need to cork it. There is a time where we need to be quiet. But there's also a time when the people of God need to speak up. This is a time when Esther needed to speak up, for the destruction of the Jews is coming because of one man's hatred. And again, this helps us to see that one person can make a difference. Often we say, well, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. Well, if I say my opinion, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. Haman was one person. Esther was one person. And I want to remind you today that Madeline O'Hare was one person, and look at the destruction that she has caused in this world. Adolf Hitler was one person. Napoleon Bonaparte was one person. Emperor Nero was one person. Julius Caesar was one person. And all of these one people made a major impact on the world, whether good or whether bad. So don't tell me I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. That is a lie from the pit of Satan. Amen. Because when one person steps up and speaks, someone else steps up and speaks. And then someone else steps up and speaks. Because as you go through the story, if you read the continued story of Esther, you will come to find out that even the king's army was helping Mordecai and Esther because they were afraid of Mordecai. So when one person stands, people will stand with them if they are doing what is right. Esther needed to speak up because her people was in trouble. And Mordecai, man, I love Mordecai. Mordecai trusted in the promises of God, and now it was Esther's time to trust in the promises as well. And it's time for you and I to trust in the promises of God also. Because the next thing that we see in the text is we see that we need to trust the promises. Verse 14, I love this. Mordecai speaking, he says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time," listen to this faith, "relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews." Wow. "From another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Mordecai says, one way or the other, God will deliver. God is going to take care of his people. Before the exile, God promised there would be a remnant. God promised before the people were ever taken off into exile, into captivity, that he would bring them back into the promised land. He promised that there would be a remnant. He promised that not everyone would be destroyed. And so Mordecai knew that it was not God's plan to destroy all the Jews. That's never been God's plan. God has always had a plan for the Jews. They are the people of God. God has always had a plan for them in the Old Testament. God has always had a plan for them in the New Testament. And God still has a beautiful and perfect plan for them in today. And so Mordecai knew about God's promises. Mordecai knew that it was not God's plan to destroy all the Jews. He knew that if Esther did not help the people, then someone else would rise up to deliver the people. This is great faith that we see in Mordecai. In the fact that he knows somehow, some way, God will provide for and protect his people. Yes, God would punish his people, but he would also protect his people. And so Mordecai lays it all out there as we see his faith. He has faith to know that one way God will deliver the Jews. He has faith to know that Esther can make a difference. He has faith to know that her being queen serves a greater purpose. He has faith to know that if she does nothing, her family will be destroyed. By keeping silent, even though she's in the king's house, it does not change the fact that she's a Jew. And as a Jew, she would be killed in Haman's plot. And Mordecai says, if you don't do something, you're going to die. But I'm going to tell you right here, right now, God will protect us. Amen. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that we should have. You and I have something incredible. More than that, we have multiple somethings credible. You and I have the completed, finished Word of God that we call the Bible that we're able to read and take in and study and understand. And if that is not incredible enough, you and I have the almighty, all-powerful, all-wonderful Holy Spirit of Holy God living inside of us. Amen. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to take over, woo! When we allow the Holy Spirit to speak, and when we take the Word of God and combine it with the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely nothing that we as the people of God can't do for God. We have everything that we need to be all that God has called us to be. We have everything that we need to do the right thing. We have everything that we need to take a stand no matter what. Mordecai says, Esther, this is what you were made for. This is what you're made for. I love this. One of my favorite passages in Esther, a passage that we've all heard at some point in time. Who's to say that you have not come to power for such a time as this? And we often say, such a time as this. And we understand what that means. Mordecai tells Esther, this is what you were made for, Esther. Each of us have a God-given purpose, and we don't always see the purpose. If you are here this morning and you are a child of God, if you are here this morning and you have given your heart and your life to Christ, you have a purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And that purpose is good and incredible. And even as one person, you can make a difference. God wants to use us to make a difference in the lives of those around us. God wants to use us to provide for and protect those who are not able to provide and protect themselves. Like Esther, we need to see that God has placed us exactly where He wants us. We need to stand up, speak out, and live for Him no matter what. I like how one translation translate this. It says, it may very well be that you have achieved royal status for such a time as this. One pastor says, this is a reminder that we as Christians need to keep our theology straight. God is sovereign and will accomplish His program with or without us. He certainly desires to use you, yet no one is indispensable. If you refuse to obey Him, He will still carry out His agenda through someone else, and you will have missed an opportunity to serve His kingdom purposes. How many opportunities have you and I missed to serve the kingdom purpose because of fear? How many opportunities have we missed because we are too afraid to say anything? We're too afraid to stir the pot. We're too afraid to make a suggestion. We're too afraid of what someone might think. We're too afraid of what someone might say. We're too afraid that we might lose friends. We're too afraid of this. We're too afraid of that. And so God calls us to make a difference and we don't do anything because we're afraid. And we have missed incredible opportunities. How many opportunities are you and I missing because we're letting fear hold us back from doing what God has called us to do? God has placed us here at this time, in this season, for a reason. Every single one of you are here this morning in this house because God has placed you here. Everyone that listens online, everyone that hears this message is because God has placed you where you are to hear what God is saying today. God is incredibly sovereign. And this is what I love about the book of Esther. When you read through the book of Esther, the name of God is not mentioned, but you see His hand and His fingerprints everywhere. God is bringing together. God is orchestrating. God is putting His puzzle together. God is making His masterpiece. And you and I are a part of that puzzle. You and I are a part of that masterpiece. But I'm here to tell you, if we don't obey God, He'll make a new puzzle piece. Because one way or the other, God will do what God wants to do. And He wants to use us. The question is, will we let Him? Do you know why God placed you here? Who is to say that you're not here for such a time as this? You know, often we say, man, I really wish I lived in the medieval times, or I really wish I lived in the Western age, or I really wish I lived in this time or that time when things were not as complicated. God didn't want you to live in that time, or God would have put you in that time. God wants you to be in America in 2023, right here, right now, at this moment. And He has a plan and a purpose to use you for His honor, for His glory, and for His great name. And so Mordecai says, Esther, you're made for this. And now we see Esther's response. Her first response was fear. Her second response is faith. And we see that we need to step out in faith through prayer. Verse 15 through 17 says, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Susa and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Esther says it's time to fast. After all, how could Esther say no to this motivational speech by her uncle? Now, we all like these powerful motivational speeches that we either see in movies or we see people make. You talk about a motivational speech, Mordecai is like, God's going to deliver us with or without you, and maybe you've been brought to power for this time. That was a motivational speech, and she's like, all right, I'll do this. And so she says it's time to fast. Now, we need to understand that in the Jewish culture, fasting also automatically includes prayer. So it's not just removing food, it is prayer. The purpose of fasting was that you would remove something out of your body and replace it with something else. So when you fast, every time you start to get hungry, instead of eating, you pray. And if you're like most people, you're going to be praying a whole lot more when you start getting hungry. And I learned that fasting is 95% mental, 5% physical. Technically, you can go 7 or 8 days without food and be okay. And so, I mean, can you imagine? Esther's like, no food or water for 3 days. Can you imagine not eating for 3 days? It's hard for us sometimes just to go a day. And again, I'll never forget when I was working on my master's degree, We were taking a class on spiritual disciplines, and each of us had to write a paper on a spiritual discipline. Mine was on worship, but another guy had to write his paper on fasting, and something that he said has hit me. He said, "I just don't think we're desperate enough for God to fast anymore." Wow. When's the last time you fasted? Unfortunately, I got to include myself in this. I used to do it every year and then I got out of it. And unfortunately, I don't know the last time I did. And that's kind of sad. Because when we fast, we are giving up something that's important to us. And there's different types of fasting. You can give up Facebook for a month, if that's something. But it's got to be something you like. I mean, I can't sit here and say, you know what? I'm going to fast. I'm going to give up Brussels sprouts for a month. I don't even eat Brussels sprouts. That doesn't count. Now, if I was to say I'm going to give up pizza for a month, now we're meddling. But, you know, fasting is giving up something that's important. Well, food's important. So you take a day and you give up food and you pray. And you pray. And so she says, for 3 days, we're going to fast, we're going to pray. In other words, what she is saying is, I can't do this without God. With death behind both doors, she knew that she needed to call on the mighty God of Israel for help. When we find ourselves with difficult decisions, when we find ourselves in lose-lose situations, when we find ourselves in hard positions, we need to hit our knees before Almighty God and pray. We need to fall down and pray. And sometimes we need to fast and pray. Sometimes we need to get alone with God and just hit our knees and cry out to God. Sometimes we need to put our cell phones to the side. We need to get rid of our distractions. We need to get rid of the food. We need to get rid of whatever it is that causes us distractions. And we just need to hit our knees before mighty God and cry out saying, God, I need you. And we wonder what's wrong with our churches in America. We wonder what's wrong with our churches all around the world. It's because we have become a people of non-prayer instead of a people of prayer. And I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm going to share a comment that was shared with me that really hit me. Very proud of Tommy at our last men's ministry. God has laid it on his heart that we as men need to lead this church in prayer. And so he has taken the initiative to start praying and praying and praying. So every Sunday morning, all the men are invited to gather around me and pray. Today was the first day. And I don't know about you, but I feel the Spirit more than normal. Amen. I was prayed over by the men of this church. Praise the Lord. Because that's what we need. We need prayer. And someone told me, someone called me and said, you know, I've never ever heard of this being done in a Baptist church. You talk about embarrassing. We are not known for prayer. How true is that? How true is that? How seriously do we take prayer? And here, Esther says, 3 days, no food, no water. We're going to fast and pray because we need the help of God to do this. And I wonder why we're not seeing a move of God. I wonder why we're not seeing God move like he is in all these other places. It's because we're not asking him to. Because every great revival that has ever broken out has started with prayer. It always begins with prayer. And so there are times when you and I need to pray. And there are times where we probably should fast as well. This is somewhat of a lost art in our world today, and that's a sad thing. Esther says the time has come for us to fast and pray. Esther decides that she is going to risk everything in order to help her people. She decides, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. She decides that risking her life before the king is better than letting all of her people die because she's afraid to do anything about it. Esther decides that her entire people is more important than her own life. Risk is not always easy, but at times it is a must. There are times when we simply need to do what is right no matter what. Esther decides that she is going to do what is right, and now we see her faith. We started out by seeing Mordecai's faith. Well, we started out by seeing Esther's fear. Then we saw Mordecai's faith. Now we see Esther's faith. Fast and pray for 3 days. She sees that she needs God's help. She says, I will go against the law and go to the king. Sometimes to follow after God is to go against the world. Sometimes to follow God is to go against the popular opinion. Sometimes to follow God is to go against the status quo. And it's weird to say this, but sometimes in a church, standing against what everybody else is standing for could actually be the right thing and goes against the status quo. But it's the right thing anyway. She says, I will go against the king. And then she says, if I die, I die. Talk about a change. First, I can't go before the king. He could kill me. Now, if I die, I die because I'm doing what's right. We are to live for Jesus no matter what obstacles stand in our way. Just as Esther would save the Jews from Haman, Jesus would go to the cross and save the world from their sins. Esther would intervene for the Jews. And now we know that years later, Jesus would go to the cross. Do you think it was an easy road for Jesus? Do you think the cross was simple and easy? How much opposition did Jesus face along the way? Jesus faced opposition from the Jews. Jesus faced opposition from the religious leaders. Jesus faced opposition from the Gentiles. Jesus fought opposition from the rulers. Jesus fought opposition within. Jesus fought opposition without. It wasn't easy. But Jesus went to the cross no matter what. Now let me ask this very difficult question. Where would you and I be today had Jesus not did whatever it took, no matter what? Where would you and I be today if Jesus had not done the right thing, no matter what? The fact that Jesus went to the cross is why you and I have salvation. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. God sent Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died. Jesus shed his precious blood. And then Jesus rose from the grave. And when you and I cry out and say, Lord, save me, then and only then do we found our salvation. Amen. It wasn't easy, but Jesus went to the cross no matter what. Solomon, who is the wisest man to ever live, says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Esther had a choice. Stand for what is right or stay silent and watch all that you know and love die. She could let fear or faith win, but in the end, she chose faith. People needed her help, and she was going to help them. In our world today, people need her help. There are those who don't have a voice, and we need to stand up and be their voice. This is why it's so important for Christians to go to the polls and vote based on the Bible. Unborn babies don't have a voice. We need to be their voice. There are people out there that don't have a voice, and we need to speak up on their behalf. There are those who need us to speak. There are those in our world who need help. They need provisions. They need protection. And the Bible tells us if we have the world's, if we have the goods that they need and don't help them, that it's not love. As the church, we have an obligation. We have a command from God to help those around us who are in need. If we see somebody who is hungry, we have an obligation to feed them. If we see somebody cold, we have an obligation to give them a cloak. Remember what Jesus says, if you don't help the least of these, you don't help me. And when you help the least of these, you help me. People need our help. We need to stand for what the Bible says no matter what. So what is God saying to us today? Maybe we're here today and we need to speak up. Maybe we've been silent too long and the time has come for us to speak up for what God has called us to say. Maybe we're here today and we need to trust the promises. We need to trust that when we do step up, when we do stand up, when we do speak out, that God is going to provide for and protect us as long as we are doing what He has called us to do. Maybe we're here today and we need to step out in faith through prayer. Maybe we need to take prayer a little bit more serious. Maybe we need to do a fast. Whatever it is, will we do what God is calling us to do? Maybe we're here today and we've never given our heart and our life to Christ. And we say, you know what? I need Jesus. Because I promise you, every single one of us need Jesus. If you've never given your heart and your life to Christ, then you need Jesus to save you from your sins. If you have given your heart and your life to Christ, you need Jesus to lead you and guide you through the incredible power of the Holy Spirit moving in us. We all have the same thing in common. We all need Jesus. And we need to live for and serve Jesus. And we need to do the right thing no matter what. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful passage and the encouragement that comes from it. Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful for Your incredible promises. I'm so grateful that You do provide and protect Your people. And I'm so grateful that You do want us to play a part in what You're doing. That You use broken people to make a difference in the world. That You take us in our mess, in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our selfishness, and You take us and use us and mold us and make us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You fill us with Your incredible Holy Spirit, and we get to play a part. Esther got to play a major role in Your plan, and we get to play a major role as well if we simply surrender to You. And so, Lord, we come to You praying and crying out, asking that You would use us, asking that You would move in our hearts and in our lives, asking that You would strengthen us and encourage us, and asking that You would help us to take a stand, to speak out, to trust Your promises, and to pray in faith. Lord, we thank You, we love You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.